Welcome to our evening service here tonight, Toronto Free Presbyterian Church. We're glad that you have been able to join with us. We want to commence our service with that well-known hymn, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. Let's praise God with all our hearts. Let's unite our hearts in prayer as we seek the Lord and give thanks for such grace that has gone down so deep into the pit of our sin and has rescued us and set us upon the rock of our salvation, so that today we know it is well with our souls. Father, we rejoice tonight that we're found once more in the house of God, before the word of the Lord on thy day, giving praise from our hearts in song and in our prayer, in the reading of the scripture, and as we unfold the word of God tonight. Bless the scriptures to every heart. Encourage every single soul. Lord, we know that it is not a vain thing to wait upon God. And as we come in prayer, lifting our hearts in thanksgiving and praise, we do so, Lord, with the full assurance that our prayers are heard and our worship is received. And I pray, Lord, you would bless and support and strengthen every single believer. Remember tonight, Lord, those who are grieving the loss of a loved one. We pray for the entire McAnally family, that you would watch over them strengthen them, help them with all the details that they have to put into place now for the upcoming funeral. We ask, dear God, to bless every single one of them. Remember family members that are either outside of Christ or have not been walking with the Lord. Bless and comfort from the youngest to the oldest. And our Father, remember others also who have recently been bereaved of loved ones. We pray for some who are still very sick and elderly. Remembering Mrs. Ushila again tonight, we pray for our sister Thelma Watson. Remember Henry Lee. Remember, O God, others who are set aside at this time. Maybe it's not elderly necessarily, but perhaps, Lord, it's someone who has got a health concern or a problem. Maybe there's a deep family concern that's a heavy, heavy burden. Oh God, we pray that we will all be able to bring those burdens to the Lord in prayer. We will call down the blessing of the God of heaven. And Lord, we just commit our way unto Thee and pray that You would bless us all abundantly. Dear God, come near. Encourage every heart. Remember the needs we have, Lord, in our land. Remember those in authority over us. Give them direction. Keep them from themselves and from party politics. Lord, overturn those who have evil intentions and designs in our land. Maintain our freedom, Lord, for the preaching of the gospel, we pray. Remember the persecuted church in far-off lands. Bless them, O God. And yet we realize that the restrictions coming upon us here, even our own land, we ask for Your hand of blessing on us. We think of the work in Nepal tonight. We pray for Reverend Paul Thapa. Lord, be with him. Encourage his heart. Be with his family. We ask that You would restore them from this COVID virus that's affecting so many in their land. We pray that they will have a great opportunity of gospel witness and of Christian compassion to be shown in this time. Remember the Christians in the underground church in China. Lord, give liberty and help and protection and safety to Thy people. And let the gospel go forward with great power from individual to individual. And Lord, may there be a great awakening, not only in that land, but in lands where there is no gospel freedom, where there is restriction upon those who name the name of Christ. Bless them, we pray. Remember our missionaries, the work in the Czech Republic. We pray for the Schultz family and for the work of God there. Bless them and keep them safe. We think of the work in Liberia. Brother Dave DeCanio and Joanne Greer. Lord, help them, strengthen them. Bless the radio broadcast that's going out across many in the city of Monrovia and farther in across Liberia. Lord, we ask for the work in Jamaica tonight. Bless Brother Richard Craig, strengthen him, and Brother Randy. What about the work in Mexico, Lord, and Brother Jason Boyle, and all of those connected there? Father, bless us abundantly, we pray, not only in our mission field, but in every single congregation and church. Lord, hear our prayers tonight. Strengthen us, bless us, open the Word of God to our hearts, and open our hearts to the Word of God. Hear this, our prayer now. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Number 277, Saved by the Lord's Grace. We're reading tonight in the book of Romans, chapter 4. The book of Romans, chapter 4, from verse 13 to 25. Romans 4, verse 13. Well, the context of this chapter is dealing with the subject of faith and looking at the life of Abraham and how that he believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And such a blessing there is in the gift of faith and what the Lord has blessed us with. Romans chapter 4, reading at verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they, which are of the law, be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. May God bless, we know he will, his own precious and holy, infallible and inspired word to every heart. Very happy that you have joined in with us in our service tonight. And we pray, as always, that the Word of God would be a comfort and a blessing to your heart. We say again our deepest condolences to the McAnally family in the loss of our dear brother, Sam. Sam, been a member of our congregation here for many, many years. Faithful attender to every service. Faithful attender to every prayer meeting. And a few years ago, had to say farewell to his dear wife, Maudie. And now they have been reunited in glory. And we are sad at the loss and departure of our brother, but we rejoice that he is in glory with his Savior. We do pray for the entire family, that God would bless them, help them through this time. It's not easy at all, especially under COVID, when all these extra restrictions mean that You can't even have a proper family gathering hardly. It's very difficult. We pray that for all the details that will come together, that the Lord will be honored and glorified. We'll be letting the whole congregation know the details as soon as they are received, and we'll let them know. But as you can understand, it's going to be a family time, restricted only to those who are there by invitation. So we do ask your ongoing prayers. Please also pray for others of the elderly and sick ones in our congregation. Remember Thelma, that she'll know the Lord's hand upon her. She is also herself very near to the River Jordan, as we often say. And also we pray for Brother Tony Puccini, that the Lord would watch over him. Other sick ones in the church, we hold them all up to the Lord, praying for God's continual watch, care, and blessing over them. Please remember our prayer meeting Bible study on Wednesday night at 7:30 via Zoom, and also the ladies' Bible study on Thursday night at 7 p.m., also on Zoom. And I would encourage you to remember that in prayer and spread the word around to ladies who might be interested in joining a Bible study. Next Lord's Day, our services continue online, via sermon audio, at 11 in the morning and 6:30 in the evening. The Lord bless everyone in our congregation, our families. We know that we are yet extended a little bit further from the shutdown that's in Ontario, and we patiently wait and yet hold up each other to the Lord. We'll appreciate your prayers that God will give us a speedy reunion of everyone back in the house of God again. We do continue to hold up in prayer those who are working in the medical services, those who are in harm's way, as we sometimes say. We hold each other up before the Lord much in our praying. And I'll thank you as well for your faithful praying for all the ministry that must continue on during these times. We're going to worship the Lord again with number 252, "The Grace of God, It Reaches Me."
Thank you.
going to sing that first verse one more time. This is not a hymn that is very familiar to us, and the tune that is originally there is one that, well, I don't think any one of us would have gotten. But this is to the tune of Face to Face, and it's such a fitting tune along with these precious words. And I believe that as we sing them into our heart and sing them in worship unto our God, oh, this uttermost salvation, 'tis a fountain full and free, pure, exhaustless, ever-flowing, wondrous grace, it reaches me. Let's sing this first verse again. Turning tonight, please, in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. The book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Reading the first 10 verses. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The Lord bless his word to every heart. Let's bow, please, for prayer. Father, as we have read the Scriptures tonight in the book of Hebrews and Romans, here now in Ephesians, we ask, Lord, to open our hearts to the Word. I pray, Father, for help tonight to take the things that are so precious, so valuable, so everlasting, and help me by the Spirit's power to convey the truth and to present the unsearchable riches of Christ, and that every heart would hear, every heart would understand, and the Holy Spirit would take these things and write them on every mind. Lord, I pray tonight the Word of God would come effectually to the hearts of those who are unsaved. And Lord, let it come with power to every one of our hearts who know Thee. And Lord, hear our prayers this evening. Draw very, very near to us. And Lord, give help and understanding in the Scriptures of truth. For we ask these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. When we sing a hymn, as we did for our opening tonight in the service, of Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, I believe we can enter in with John Newton. We can enter into what he felt when he penned those words many, many years ago. He was a wicked slave trader whose vocabulary was so vile that when he launched into oaths and curses on those slave boats, the sailors and those people were there even cowered because they were ready for the heavens to open and God's judgment to fall. A wicked, wicked man whose heart was hardened against God. And yet the Lord reached down and touched the heart of such a sinner. And so he could say these words, and every sinner that has been saved by the grace of God today can echo them as well, because it is amazing to us. It has come to our hearts with power, God's rich, full, and free grace. I want us to think tonight on this subject, all of grace. Because that's the message of salvation. It's the message of the gospel. It is all of rich, sovereign, free, saving grace. And friend, it's for us this night. And my prayer in my heart is simply this. If you do not know Him, if by some way you tuned into our service tonight, or maybe you have listened before and yet you are not absolutely certain that you are a born-again believer, I pray the Lord would take His word this evening and write it upon your heart, that you would know that you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 begins with these most significant words. And you, individually. Now, Paul is writing to the Ephesians, but he is saying to them, yes, as a group in the church of Ephesus, you have been converted and saved by the grace of God. But friend, let's take that to every individual tonight, because the focus of the Holy Spirit comes directly to our souls, and He is saying, you, hath He quickened, have been made alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. This scripture teaches us that we, out of Christ, are spiritually dead as dead could be. No life, no heartbeat spiritually, no hope. And this section of Ephesians 2 tells us something about our history. Yeah, we are all people who have a history. And the history we have is not a very nice one. It's a history where we have been on a bad course. There has been a bad company or influence, for we have been brought up as those children of disobedience, children of darkness, children of this world. And our conversation, not just from the words that speak from our mouth, because they don't come except from the heart of the individual. Christ made that abundantly clear. He said, out of the heart of man proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, murders, fornication. It's out of the heart of our conversation it reveals who we are. And the word conversation, of course, in conjunction with that, means our behavior. A bad course, bad company, bad conversation, and it all is summed up with a very bad condition, because left to ourselves and in ourselves, we are sinful creatures, depraved, separated from God, going on a very different pathway from the Lord's way, born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And friend, this is a solemn truth that must reverberate into your heart. Jesus did not come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. And it's not until a man or a woman comes face to face with the reality of their own sinful condition and state that they will ever realize that they need to have a remedy for this. You see that tonight? My dear friend, do you understand and know that you are a grave, wicked sinner before a holy God, and there is no remedy for your soul outside of God's work in your own heart? And that work that I'm talking about is the work of sovereign grace in your soul. And when we get to glory, when we come to heaven, we are going to look back on our whole life and we are going to proclaim this: it has been all of God's grace and not of ourselves. Look, please, with me tonight at verses 8 and 9 of chapter 2. Verses that many have memorized from many years ago. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Yes, and these verses, they will provide for us the base of what we want to think about with you tonight. Notice, please, in the first place, the grace of God alone has saved us. By God's grace alone that He has saved us. You know, the expression grace alone, it is really one of those that has been trumpeted from the time of the Reformation. People sometimes refer to these as the five solas. They talk about the Bible alone and faith alone and Christ alone and all to the glory of God alone. And that fifth one, and grace alone. And of course, those phrases were born and brought out from the Scripture itself, so that man in his own sinful nature would not take any glory or praise to himself. Man would come to realize that if I will ever get to glory, it's not going to be by anything that I have of myself. It is only going to be all from the work that Christ has done, that God has purposed, and it will be for His glory alone. When you do even a very overview study of the book of Ephesians, you will find the word grace. It comes up over and over again. turn back to chapter 1 for a moment and look in verse 4, from verses 4 to 7. According as He hath chosen us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. And my verse 7 would fit in very well with what we were thinking about this morning in our meditation from Isaiah 44 and verse 22, that God will blot out all of our transgressions and our sins. And in the blotting out of this, He will bring us in. He will restore us. He will give us His full and free salvation. And so when we think about the spotlight of eternal redemption, the spotlight of the forgiveness of our sins through the atoning blood of Christ, it is all that the riches of the grace of God might be magnified so that we will see and give praise and thanksgiving to Him. Yes, my friend, the spotlight, if we could say, is on the grace of God. And if you come to our chapter, chapter 2, and look at verse 7, it says, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The apostle cannot stop using that word. He cannot stop thinking about what it means to dwell on the grace of God, to dwell on the exceeding riches of that grace. Yes, the worth, the wealth, the value of the grace of God. He uses the term exceeding riches. Don't rush away from this phrase tonight. The exceeding riches. The word exceeding means to surpass in throwing, to throw something over and beyond, to transcend or exceed or excel. So if you were to use this word in a track and field competition, someone who was doing the shot put competition would be pushing something, the shot put, beyond the others. Or if you're going to take the javelin in your hand and use that as an example, to throw the javelin, it would be exceeding. You're trying to get it beyond the mark of the last person who threw. So this word here is used in these types of expressions to go beyond. And it is where we get our word hyperbole. That's the Greek word. Hyperbole. And it's used in literature to express intentional exaggeration for impact. So we could say, why? That guy could throw the ball a mile. Just means that he would throw it very far. Or you could say to yourself or to someone, I have a million things to do today. Well, you have a lot of things to do today. And we use those expressions in our literature. We use exaggerations, and that's this word hyperbole. We use that. And this is the word the Holy Spirit has chosen to express the exceeding riches of the grace of God. It's a word that's used to describe the wealth, the value, the worth of the grace of the Lord in salvation. Therefore, my friend, when you compare this to anything in the world's economy, anything that comes down to sort of weighing up what is valuable, the precious metals, commodities that are thought of, things in trading, whether it be on the stock market, or people who invest in real estate, things that they will put their mind down to say, yeah, that's valuable. I want that thing. The exceeding riches of God's grace. It goes beyond hyperbolic reality. It goes beyond description. And yet it's given to us here in words that we hopefully can at least begin to comprehend of the greatness of God's grace toward us. Is it not why the hymn writer wrote these words? Grace that is greater than all my sin. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that has saved a wretch like me. Thomas Goodwin, in his commentary on Ephesians chapter 2, he wrote this: there is an ambushment of everlasting love and riches of mercy and grace laid up in Christ for the salvation of them He hath chosen. And out of that mercy and grace, and out of that love, when we were dead in sins and trespasses, He hath quickened us together with Christ. Scripture is so full of illustrations of the grace of God in the lives of men. The very first mention of this in the Bible has to do with Noah. All the way back in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That same expression is used of Abraham, of Lot, of Moses. It's found here also in the book of Ruth. In Ruth chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, to Boaz, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? You know where Ruth was from? She was a Moabite. And she had come back with Naomi back to Bethlehem, to Israel. And there's Boaz, a Jew, and he observes and realizes that Ruth is connected with Naomi, a stranger, a Gentile, an outsider. And Ruth senses and knows her position and place, not deserving of any mercy. How and why would she receive any grace? And this very phrase is used here. She said, I have found grace in thine eyes. You know, in most of these Old Testament references, the word grace is attached to found, obtained, or received. Found, obtained, and received. And you know, when Ruth said this of Boaz, Boaz is but a type of Christ in that book. And if Ruth found grace with Boaz, she found grace with the greater Boaz, with Christ Himself. For God chose that through her would come the Messiah. Yes, through Boaz, through that line, David would be born. And Christ, the son of David, would be born. Yes, the pattern of grace, the thread of grace in the Bible is so very, very clear. we can say the God who is rich in grace has the riches of grace in Himself. When we look at Ephesians chapter 2, and we consider the wealth and the worth of grace, we find out here also the working of grace. In verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith." Being saved from sin, it's an act of God's free mercy to us, wherein He pardons, according to the Catechism question, He pardons all our sins, and He accepts us as righteous in His sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. Grace is, in verse 9, is juxtaposed to works. And so, it is intended as a great comparison. Look again what it says. "Not of works, lest any man should boast." So you compare verse 8 and verse 9, and you can see that the Holy Spirit is setting faith and the reception of this, and works, on the other hand, as being so much the opposite. The working of grace is exalted. It is so much more preeminent. The use of the words working and grace together, it seems a little bit of a paradox, because we know that the idea of working our way to heaven by our own good works, it's an impossibility. It cannot be. And yet, when it's viewed as the operation of God, we know that our salvation was not free. In other words, it was not something that was worthless. It cost God everything. It cost Him the giving of His only begotten Son. It cost the Son of God His life to give in order that we might be saved. And so it was His working, His perfect work, that allowed us to receive the gift of salvation given so freely by God's grace to us. In Romans 3 and verse 24, it says, "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." There's that word redemption coming up again. It's in chapter 1, verse 7. It's in Isaiah 44, verse 22. The redemption that God has granted to us, it is gift. It is given. But at what cost, my friend? Romans 4, verse 16. "Therefore, it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, spiritually." The question in verse 8 that is sometimes puzzled folks, in back to Ephesians 2 again. The question is, what exactly is this referring to when it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." And that not of yourselves. Is it referring to faith or to salvation? Well, commentators will argue one way and go back another way. Calvin says it refers to salvation. Theodore Beza says it refers to faith. Charles Hodge, in his commentary, believes it refers to faith. And, well, when you boil it all down, I believe Matthew Poole has the best way of looking at it. For Matthew Poole holds that the gift of The gift of God refers to both salvation and faith, because he says, through faith, by which we lay hold on the grace of God, it's offered to you in the gospel. Faith is not considered here a work that is done by us. And that's where some of the problem comes in, because if you look upon this as being, oh, well, then faith becomes a work whereby we must do in order to be accepted by God. No, friend, no. Faith is purely the instrument whereby God gives to us the ability to accept and receive that free gift of salvation that has been offered to us. And the question comes, friend, to you tonight. Have you received the free gift of salvation? Do you know the Lord as your own? Have you been born again by the Spirit of God? Are you forgiven of all your sin? This is a most important question. You know, there's a sense of the weakness of human works here that is given in verse 9. Because clearly we're told it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Could you imagine what heaven would be like if you have in this place over here someone who's saying, well, I'm here in heaven because I was brought up in a nice Christian home and I had all the benefits of being raised in a Christian home. And therefore, that's why I'm in heaven. Another person over here would say, well, I'm in heaven because I was smart enough to reach out and receive the gift that God was giving. And I did that because I saw there was something good in this and I received it to myself. And the other person over here says, well, I studied hard and I studied the Bible carefully. And it's because of my hard studying that I was able to say that I believed and I've received. And then you find that in heaven, it is full of boasting, because it is full of those who think that they have got there by their own good intelligence or good upbringing or good culture or race or some other reason. And no, friend, none of those things will do, because it's not of works, lest any should boast. But it's all of grace. And God's free grace toward us. You know, the religions of this world, every single one of them, the religions of this world all depend on justification by their own good works. But that's not the gospel of salvation in the Scripture. It's not the gospel of Christ. Because that gospel is the one that speaks of God's grace alone that saves us. Please notice in the second place tonight, the grace of God alone sustains us. Yes, God's grace saves us, but His grace also sustains us. It keeps us going. It works in us to sanctify us and make us more and more and more like unto our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by the Lord's grace that we are spiritually alive to the Lord. We have had the intervention of God in our life. Look at verse 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He had loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, He has quickened us together with Christ. And you know, the very purpose that God has to work in us, we see it following out here in verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so God's purpose in saving us is His same purpose in sustaining and keeping us, because He wants that we will be conformed to the image of His Son. He wants that we will fulfill the purpose whereby He has made us, that we will be created unto good works. Oh, there's no confusion here at all. Because we are saved by the grace of God, and once the grace of God comes in us, then we want to serve Him. We want to work for the Lord. But it's not a working whereby we are trying to attain to salvation. It's a working because we are saved. And that's all the difference, friend. And today we are given the great privilege of living, of walking, of working for Christ. It's a joy that we are given that we might be co-laborers with the Lord. He gives us the privilege to serve Him. We are His servants. And therefore, let us labor for the Master from the dawn till the setting sun. Let us talk of all His wondrous love and care. Yes, let us labor for the Master because our time is going from us. And it's important for us to number our days, to apply our hearts unto wisdom. Friend, you might be a young person. You might be coming to the prime of your life, thinking you have everything in front of you. But what are you doing for God? How are you living your life for the glory of the King? Nothing else matters. Because nothing else in life is important when we get to glory, but that we have labored for Him. And God has promised to keep you, believer. He has promised to sustain you right to the very end. You need not fear. Are you going to be able to keep your salvation? Because you could never keep it anyways. It is Christ who has died for you. It is His atoning blood that was shed to wash away your sins. You are justified before God by His sovereign grace, and He keeps you by that same sovereign grace. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you realize that every day that you live for the Lord, every day you live to glorify Him, you are spiritually alive. And He is working out His plan in your heart. But He doesn't expect you to be a robot. No, He doesn't expect you to not work according to your will and your desires once He has saved you. Because we're told very clearly in the book of Philippians that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You see the sovereign hand of God working to sustain you, working that your life will be a blossom and a glory to His praise, so that in glory the exceeding riches of His grace will be magnified through our lives. Yes, the enduring value of the grace of God, it will be seen in the ages that are to come. And I don't believe, friend, that that phrase only refers to the ages of this lifetime. But let the grace of God be productive in our life, to be seen in our junior years, our mid-years, our senior years. Let it be seen in all of those ages. But I say to you that the exceeding riches of the grace of God will be seen for the ages of eternity. And that's what this is referring to. That God will be glorified through our lives for time and forever and forever. I ask you tonight, friend, are you in Jesus now? Do you know Him? Have you tasted of the free gift of His salvation? Because if not, you are on your way to a lost eternity. You are on your way to hell, to eternal torment and punishment. And once you are in that place, there is no release. There is no escape. There is no restoration. It is forever and forever and forever. But now, there is hope, because now is the day of grace. Now is the day of salvation. And I say to you, my friend, don't wait another moment. Don't let this night go out into eternity before you know that you are in Christ Jesus by faith. And believer, because we have received so much of the Lord, let us determine that we will give ourselves afresh to Him, to dedicate our lives, to dedicate whatever time we have left, to dedicate our days and our hours to Him, to rejoice in all that the Lord has given us to rejoice in, to give thanks and praise and worship to Him. Yes, friend, this is why we are on earth, that His workmanship within us might redound to His glory and to His honor for all time and for all eternity. If you have to say tonight that I have failed the Lord in this, if you have to say tonight that I'm not walking with the Lord as I should be, do not delay putting that right. Don't delay getting on your face before the Lord and crying out to Him in mercy, in repentance, and saying, Lord, restore unto me the years that the locusts have eaten. Restore unto me Thy salvation and the joy of it. Restore unto me the years of usefulness in service. Yes, Lord, I want to live for the Master. Oh, no, this is not guilt motivation by your pastor. I'm not saying this to you to say, oh, you have to do this, this, and something else. This is for the honor of your Savior. And you have a privilege to serve Him. And as you serve Him, there will be joy in your heart. And that grace poured out abundantly to you, you will be able to magnify His name, to serve Him with all that you have and all that you are. I pray that will be so tonight in every heart. Let's bow before Him now. Lord, what can we say tonight with these words that we have read from Ephesians 2? They are so profound. They are so amazing. Lord, I pray that they will be written on every heart. Save precious souls, Lord. Restore backsliders. Work deeply in the hearts of those that have been long prayed for. And, oh God, make use of each one of us. In these times, in our generation, help us to see and realize that we're here for a short time. We're here for a time to serve our God, not ourselves. And Lord, help us to have joy in doing this. Hear our prayer tonight. Bless us each one, every family, and encourage every heart. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.